Hey, welcome to the M2 Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Antti. My co-host right here is Kyle Heath, always apparently wearing the Panthers I'm dying inside. This is the show where we don't cover the NFL. We cover esports with personalities, gaming industry-related news, new and upcoming games, and just overall technology innovation. But Kyle, what have you been up to, man? Sorry to throw you under the bus.
I just have to say, this has become one of my favorite shirts for many reasons, not just like the Panthers fan affiliation. It's just like, there's many things in life where, you know, you just feel like you're dying inside, even if temporarily, you know, so it's just very fitting.
I think it's a human experience. Every now and then you just like, I don't know, man. I don't think I can do it. I'm dying inside.
It's so funny too. I ran around my neighborhood today in the shirt. And I didn't see many people, but like there's a couple of people in cars, and I was like waving, and I was like, I wonder if they like are reading my shirt right now. I'm just like, why is this guy?
That would make me laugh.
Dying inside. Yeah. Anyway. But yeah. So, besides dying inside, I think this week one of the main games I played this week, which is funny. It's definitely something I haven't like tried. I've seen so many different streams and videos on it, but I never actually tried it because I figured it was going to be what I expected. That is Power Wash Simulator. Simulator City here. Like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like there's so many simulator games nowadays, but like, I don't know. I wanted something chill to play. I logged on to Xbox and saw it was available on Game Pass. So I was like, hey, it's free. Try it out. It's co-op too. So I had other buddies with Game Pass. Oh. They hopped on and we played. We did like some of the gigs and stuff like that. I don't know. It's pretty relaxing. Like just to sit there and like, I just like had on some like either like a podcast or music or a video or something in the background. And I was just like washing away. I don't know. It was cool to just like,
that's cool, man.
With the guys, like, you know, you're just talking and cleaning. It's like something just to, I guess, keep your hands busy. So that was pretty cool. I'm definitely I'm thinking I'll probably end up popping back on at some point this week and like do more of the career mode, trying to unlock more stuff. Cause there's like all these different levels and stuff like that.
That's pretty cool.
Just like a nice progression, I feel like. So could be something to do if I don't feel like playing much else. But yeah, I was trying to think. I mean, outside of that, I mean, I think it was kind of the extent of what I played this week. Like, really wasn't too much else. There's a couple times I logged on to like Xbox to see what was on Game Pass and just trying to check out new stuff. But nothing caught my attention this time. But I'm sure something will inspire me whenever I check again this week. So. It's funny to see all the new stuff. I mean, I'll be sending like screenshots in the group chats to y'all and stuff. Just be like, yo, this game's on Game Pass now. It's kind of like that. Just like, yeah, this is weird, but yeah, I don't know. That was kind of it. I mean, outside of that, you know, we're not a sports podcast, but you know, we stay watching sports around here. So
we do. Yeah,
watching some Carolina sports. You know the drill. It's kind of crazy. There's only like a month of regular season left, hockey and basketball. So it's kind of just like watching the tail end. So
yeah, it's true. And NCAA tournament starting up because we made it to March finally. So
that's a
big thing in the Carolinas. We always have teams in the tournament. A lot of championships have been won in the Carolinas. So
yeah, well, I mean it's Duke, right? I think Duke, I feel like for a long time was like on top.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's been like, it just depends on the era. It's like you had NC State for a while, you had Duke for a little bit, then UNC, then Duke, and it goes back and forth. Wake Forest makes an appearance every now and then, you know?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's always good to see. I think the ACC tournament is probably the most entertaining just because I might be biased just being in, like, North Carolina. It's just cool to see. You have three or four different major schools where, like, you have real-life connections to.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, it's pretty cool to see them on like TV competing. And I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, dude, it's wild what happens to a place, a generalized geographical area, whenever a sports team is doing well. It's kind of crazy. Like,
oh yeah, the economics go through the roof. Everybody like starts chilling out with the violence sometimes, you know? Like, it's just a better place, dude.
Like, everyone, every coworker and stuff at every job is like, just like, it's in a better mood all of a sudden. It's like, oh,
yeah,
come on.
Your team's winning, man. It's awesome. It feels good to get a win there, you know? It's just sports in the end. It's kind of like if you got a diehard esports team and they start winning championships, you're proud to wear the colors, you know?
Yeah.
But if they lose, man, that thing gets thrown in the back of the closet.
Dude, you know, it's funny too. I didn't mention last week. At least I don't think I mentioned last week, but I actually watched the latest like Rainbow Six Invitational. just because like I saw it was on, so I wanted to check it out. And it was like the grand finals were like insane. I think it was like FaZe versus like W7M, I think was the name of the team. And like FaZe was up in like every regard, and then I think they only needed to win like one or two more rounds, and they ended up getting reverse swept. And so W7M ended up winning from like a 1-6 deficit. So they had to win like eight or something like that. But they did not drop around like after losing like six or five or six in a row. It's kind of nuts.
I
mean,
I think after like the fear of getting reverse swept probably overwhelmed the nerves, where it's just like, if you're that team, you're just like, okay, guys, we only need a few more, but you keep losing over and over and over. It's like, come on, just a few more, guys. We got this. And then all of a sudden, it's tied. It's like, you know, it's chalked at that point.
Yeah, no. It's like, that's the thing. You know, like, momentum is just entirely swung. And it's just like,
oh dude, yeah. Yeah, momentum's no joke in any, like, sport, competition, activity, anything. Like, if you hit that stride and your confidence is, like, absolutely beaming. Because sometimes that might be all it is at, like, the top of the top level. Is a confidence thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
confidence can drive focus, and then it's just over.
Yeah.
It's pretty, yeah, that's pretty wild.
That's what happened to FaZe. Poor FaZe, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. So I don't know. I mean, that was pretty much it for this week, Mike. Did you play some Rocket League, some finals? I don't know. What'd you play?
Bro, I played like maybe a little bit of the finals here and there. Not really too much. I played a little bit of Halo 2, got back on there. Some people are starting to get back into the Halo 2 swing again. Played in a tournament. I got third place without playing like for months. I got on like the night before, and I was like, all right, it can't be that difficult. And I'm like loading up, and I'm just like going through different custom games. And then we get into a game, and I'm like, I'm messed up. I'm like calling out the wrong base and stuff. It was kind of embarrassing, but third place is all right. I think we could have done better if I think I was playing particularly better, more focused, and yeah. It's tough. It happens. But hey, whatever. Yeah. Get back into it. Outside of that, I've been playing, or I haven't played any content. I've been just watching, consuming content. I watched Dune 2, Part 2.
Oh, okay.
That was freaking awesome. Highly recommend. Definitely check it out. I won't like talk about it too much, but it was amazing. Excited now. That actually got me really excited for the Dune MMO. I want to, like, I haven't really looked into it. I know it's set in the Dune universe. And I'm like, okay, there's a lot of potential for this, and we'll see how it works. So that'll be on the radar, along with a couple other games. And the other thing I've been consuming is Avatar: The Last Airbender. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, the Netflix series? Yeah, like that, yeah. The live action? Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm on episode 3. And I know that at some point people get outraged and they're upset.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. I see some things already in episode 3 where I was like, okay, I see what they're doing. You have a limited amount of episodes to like condense things together. You're missing some things. It's not really that consistent. But at the same time, I'm trying to take it from the framework of this is not M. Night Shyamalan's Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
So as long as it's not that and it's somewhat consistent to the source material, I'll be okay. Like, I'm just going to go in there with that kind of attitude. As long as they don't veer off the entire source material really quickly, like the Halo TV show did,
yeah,
I should be okay. Like, I'll accept it. I think One Piece on Netflix was amazing. But I also have never seen the cartoon or anime.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. I was trying to remember how that actually, like, how people responded to that. I couldn't remember if it was good or bad. But,
Yeah, I'm not really, like, in... too much into the anime stuff.
Yeah.
To be honest, like I'll watch the generic stuff that everybody's heard of, but I've never really gotten deep into like One Piece because I know there's like 1,000
dude,
episodes.
There is. It's over 1,000. Yeah. And it's, yeah. Yeah. Good luck catching up. And some of the arcs I hear are terrible. So it's like you have to slog through these like sections of the series that are just like not that good.
It is what it is. But I felt like the live action series that they had was really good and it was very enjoyable. I'm starting to feel the same way with Avatar so far. So we'll get back to this conversation in like a week or so when I really dive into it.
Yeah.
But how about,
I don't know. I've heard a lot of stuff about that series and I have a couple of buddies of mine that are, that like they were super into the anime. And so they're watching the series. And I know one of my buddies is like, he was like a pretty diehard Avatar fan. Like he loved that series. And I watched it, you know, over, you know, probably I don't know, like 13, 14 years ago. And like, I remember what, at the time I rewatched it after it ended because I actually enjoyed it so much. I don't remember too much of the series, but I'd have to rewatch it, like, really get a feel for it. But I don't know. My buddy, though, he was like, he was not a fan. So he said he didn't really enjoy it. So, and I've heard, like, I haven't heard all the criticism, like what exact criticism they have, like people have about the series. But I did see today, though, that it did get renewed for another 2 seasons. So, I mean, they're going to do 2 and 3. So, yeah, I mean, I'll be curious to see, I guess, how it continues. But yeah, I've heard some people who are like diehard on the anime are not enjoying it as much. But I don't know. We'll see. I'd be curious to see what your thoughts were.
I don't know. I feel like I differ some ways with the Avatar fan base because I know a lot of people that are diehard fans of The Last Airbender, but then when The Legend of Korra came out, they hated it. And I thought The Legend of Korra really added more value to the overall universe. Yeah. And I thought it was a very interesting way that they did everything. It's like Korra is a true like female like lead character that goes through like real struggles.
Right, yeah.
I think she probably went through, I don't know if it's more, I don't know, we can have an entire podcast on the Avatar universe, but I think she probably went through more hardship than Aang did in a lot of ways. Definitely more personal hardship. Like Aang loses everything he's ever known and his master, but then Korra loses the world like twice in a way, loses the spirit world, loses her connection to the rest of the avatars, loses her entire abilities in general and bending. Yeah. It's like, that's pretty nuts.
Yeah. Is his name Sasuke? Is that his name? He's like with Aang.
Sokka?
Sokka. Yeah. That, I think that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sokka.
I heard completely changed his character. Yeah. I was going to say, I heard one of his arc was like completely different. I heard, but
yeah. Yeah. They completely changed his arc. And when I heard that, I was like, are they going to change Aang's arc? And then the first like 10 minutes of the show is like, okay, Aang's arc's the same. He's a coward. He's scared. He's not strong enough. Yeah. He doesn't believe in himself, like all these things. And then at the end of it, like 2 episodes in, he's like, okay, I need to get my stuff together. It happens kind of quick, but at the same time, he's battling with it because he doesn't trust his own strength. He has no control. It's a very interesting arc. I feel like it's just arcs that like so many different mythological stories have had before. Like one being like, what, Hades, Zeus, I think, or not Zeus, Hercules. Never knew his strength kind of thing. That's like one arc. But enough about folklore, anime. How about we get into something that kind of actually ties into it, believe it or not.
A little bit.
Is the video game like machinima space of like videography and like storytelling within gaming universes.
Yeah.
And yeah, who am I talking about?
Listen, I just had to mention too, kind of spilled some water on my shirt, all right? This is water, all right? I went for a sip. a little too overpour, all right? We're out here.
This man's drinking too much, that's what it is.
Yeah, drinking this seltzer water. Mm. Anyway, so, the first article we're talking about is Rooster Teeth, perhaps. I'm sure that name, for those listening, probably brought some nostalgia, I'm sure, people that were kind of around the internet the last couple decades, but Rooster Teeth is actually shutting down. Warner Bros. Discovery laying off about 150 people as it closes gaming and entertainment brand. Rooster Teeth is, of course, affected. So, it's coming from Brandon Sinclair over at GamesIndustry.biz, or Brandon Sinclair. So, Warner Bros. Discovery is shutting down its Rooster Teeth division, according to a Variety report. The closure of the gaming and entertainment brand will result in layoffs of 150 full-time employees, with additional contractors and content creators losing a source of income as well. The outlet obtained a memo sent to staff earlier today by Rooster Teeth General Manager Jordan Levin, who attributed the closure to challenges facing digital media resulting from fundamental shifts in consumer behavior and monetization across platforms, advertising, and patronage. So yeah, you know, they didn't adapt, Mike. Is that what I'm hearing? Am I hearing that right?
kind of, yeah. I mean, I just feel like things change over time and what people consume.
Yeah, that's true.
That's really kind of what it is. It's not going to last. Nothing's going to last forever.
Especially on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true. So, Rooster Teeth started 21 years ago with the creation of Red vs. Blue, a comedic machinima web series made using Halo. Last year, Rooster Teeth announced that its upcoming 19th season of Red vs. Blue would also be its last. The company branched out well beyond Red vs. Blue over the years, producing the animated series Ruby, another animated series featuring Michael B. Jordan called Gen Lock, and a variety of podcasts, YouTube channels, film, and game projects, and other works. Yeah, Ruby I heard was really good. It was like an anime, so that's what I had heard. I think one of what was unfortunate though is I think one of the main writers, Monty Ohm, he passed away years ago. I remember that was a huge story because he's one of the main I think people behind it, and so it was very unfortunate. But nevertheless, Rooster Teeth was acquired by Media Network Fullscreen in 2014, and a chain of media consolidation eventually made it part of the Warner Bros. Discovery in 2022. Variety reports that Rooster Teeth has been running at a loss for at least 10 years.
That sounds on brand.
Rooster Teeth was the subject of a handful of scandals in recent years, with a pair of on-camera personalities fired after being accused of grooming fans, and a former employee describing a culture of harassment and crunch over her 9 years with the outfit. Levin dismissed some of the former employees' accusations of past events and said another issue, that the company did not pay employees for voiceover work, was not unpaid work, but a perk of the job. Warner Bros. Discovery, the Roost Podcast Network, is not being impacted by the Rooster Teeth closure, and the company is continuing to search for a buyer for that property. It sounds like podcasts, still ongoing.
Yeah, podcasts must be doing pretty good. I mean, yeah. I think that kind of makes sense if, I didn't know about all the accusations and stuff. It's kind of crazy how these scandals keep coming out from all these IPs and companies. Wild. But I do think this the podcast market might be more about how I think most people that have heard of Rooster Teeth or consumed Rooster Teeth are probably over the age of 25, which is usually when people start listening to podcasts. There's not a whole lot of a young audience in the podcast market right now.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think that makes sense that is staying alive and they're trying to sell it. But yeah. In terms of, were you aware of some of these accusations against Rooster Teeth?
I wasn't aware of those in particular. I think I read the Wikipedia page a little bit before this, kind of see some of the backstory. And I think, and from my understanding anyway, I won't get into details, but I'm pretty sure there was other accusations in the past, before this even, about some of the, I think one was about the vice president or something like that at some point. He ended up getting fired because there was, I think it was he got fired for abusing his wife or something ridiculous. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's just, it's interesting, man. I especially a company like this, and like you're saying, it's just all around. It's just it's just these bad apples, right? It's just it's no matter where you go. Yeah.
There's an entire, I don't know. Just going to the Rooster Teeth website right now, most of the stuff that's on there don't really grab my attention. I don't know if it's, I don't think it's really for an audience that's older. Does that make sense?
Yeah, maybe.
Just right off the bat, just scrolling through stuff. It's Red vs. Blue. Yeah, okay. The complete edition, that's just the Halo fans, right? But then they have other stuff that looks like it's more geared towards a younger audience. So it's interesting. It's Rooster Teeth turned into Hulu. Or what's the anime website? Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting too. I mean, I think they've tried to just keeping the podcast umbrella and moving that along. I mean, that's I think the best move too, to try and get that, under something else, or just start from the ground. I mean, there's a bunch of people that probably want to support that if they just kind of try to start their own thing, so. Oh, but I think it'd be interesting. I think it's smart to kind of keep that because, those podcasts, those are something, the nice thing about podcasts is it's something you could do forever. As long as you can talk, you can do a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, that's probably the best part about it is it's very sustainable. So.
And kind of low maintenance too. Yeah. If we're being honest. Just show up and talk. Obviously do some prep work.
Yeah.
Of course.
Obviously for us, it's, a little more, but I think, if you're just if it's just a regular podcast, it's you just show up, bring your brain. That's about it. So.
Yeah. Just have a conversation, have some notes and somebody checking, fact checking.
Yeah. Exactly. Have your Jamie, you know, as they say.
Like that. Good old Jamie.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's, you know, it's unfortunate to see, but at the same time, like, thinking about it, like, you know, 21 years is like a pretty good run, especially for a company like this. So
definitely. This is an end of an era, I think.
For sure. But yeah, dude. Rusty's done, ladies and gentlemen. But that doesn't mean that everything under it, including the podcast stuff, is done. That stuff will live on. So be excited, you know.
Yeah.
Well, next time we talk, speaking of Warner Bros. We talk about Warner Bros. Laying them off. And then they have some other opinions, Mike.
They have a lot of opinions, I think. So this has actually come from the same website. The next article in our the episode for today is Warner Brothers is addressing volatile, in quotes, volatile AAA console space with live services and mobile free-to-play. So the CEO of streaming and games, JB Peretti, is eager to make games, and in quote, where people can come in and live and work and build and play on an ongoing basis. I feel like everybody is just trying to be Roblox, Minecraft, and Fortnite, like right off the bat.
Yeah.
This one is actually coming from Brendan Sinclair, the same exact writer and contributor from the previous article that we covered. So getting into it, the gaming business of Warner Bros. Discovery has been historically focused on AAA console games, but the company CEO and president of global streaming and games, JB Peretti, wants to change that. As reported by GameSpot, Peretti shared a bit about his vision for the gaming business yesterday at the Morgan Stanley Technology, Media, and Telecom Conference, starting with a nod toward mixed reality headsets and the metaverse. And as quoted from the spotlight that Peretti gave, he said, "We see the world, and whether it be VR devices, the Vision Pro, the virtual world, or who knows exactly how it evolves, but certainly those types of platforms are only going to increase in scale and adoption. And having 11 owned studios, where we're not just a publisher of games, but actually a developer of games, we think is a differentiating asset for us." And I feel like that's a fair assumption. That's kind of where video games really going in the space of things. And it seems like they're probably trying to branch out to more of everything, don't you?
I mean, yeah, that's what it sounds like. I mean, I think, you know, like VR is cool, and I think VR is definitely the future. So, I mean, if you're trying to branch out to that, I mean, I think it's definitely kind of definitely smart to do. I just can't get over differentiative. I don't think I've heard differentiate in like a, I don't know what kind of context that is, but that's an interesting word. Differentiative. How did you start using that?
SAT word. So continuing on, and this is actually a very good point that I was about to make. So Peretti said, most of Warner Brothers games business to date has been driven by four separate franchises: Mortal Kombat, Game of Thrones, Harry Potter, and the DC Universe, each of which is a billion-dollar business in and of itself. It's like, that is very true, very wild.
Yeah.
So Peretti goes on to say that the challenge we've had is our business historically in games has been very AAA console based. That's a great business when you have a hit like Harry Potter. It makes the year look amazing. And when you don't have a release, or unfortunately we also have disappointments, we just released Suicide Squad this quarter, which was not as strong. It just makes it volatile. It's like, give them more time to make a good product, bro.
Suicide Squad.
2A stuff.
Dude, Suicide Squad live service. Probably could have stayed in the oven longer. Probably could have just had a different concept entirely. I don't know if it's necessarily doing from the start, but
don't disrespect the DC Universe fans, probably.
We're also certainly not surprised about how it turned out. Yeah, dude, Harry Potter, man. I totally forgot about that, but yeah, it's Warner Brothers, and that's like, that was a good single player game. Think also the Harry Potter universe too. I mean, there's a Harry Potter TV series coming out in a couple of years, so it's like they're still they're still pushing that IP, and you know, outside of the books,
just
in the
milk
movies,
it for whatever it can be, man.
Listen, I was genuinely surprised too with the Harry Potter game, given that it's not like tied with like the movies or anything like that, and it being as good as it was, it's just proof that like, you know, you have that universe, a good foundation will work, and like you could be completely off script from kind of the main story, and it's still an entertaining game and keeps you engaged. So yeah, it was a solid game. So I good on Warner Brothers for that, because they're still gotta, like, these devs are still proving how single player market is like so huge. So
yeah, side note about that, I was having a conversation with some people with cheaters, and I think that cheating in multiplayer video games is actually pushing the success of single player games and PvE games like Helldivers 2, because you can't cheat if you're only facing the computer.
Exactly.
And if you do cheat, then it's not affecting multiple people, you know?
What are you doing in Power World? Not playing other players, tell you that.
Exactly. Just playing bots. That's fine by me. But let's continue on. So Preddy has two main answers to address that volatility, the first of which was expanding into mobile and multi-platform free-to-play games, which could give us, in his quote, is which could give us a much better and more consistent set of revenue. That is if you allow them to have a good game. Because how many times have we seen games that are like live action or live service, they come out free-to-play and they flop? I mean, we covered Anthem not too long ago.
So I mean, yeah, this is the thing about that quote, right? It's talked about like expanding on mobile multi-platform free to play games. I mean, like I think we've kind of touched on this. It's like, especially with like a like multi-platform games and like live service, it's getting to a point where it's like they're getting harder and harder to make because like they have good ones, and so it's hard to kind of modify that formula to make something unique and like something that's like actually sustainable. So I mean, yeah, like I get where they're coming from, but like to your point, like you need to make sure that it's good and unique and different, and you give them time, dude. Because if you don't, it's just it's a failure from the start. So
yeah, and people know when you're just trying to do a cash money grab and stuff like that. I mean, just coming out with a free to play game and then having a terrible battle pass system, you can't like have any type of growth system or reward system. Why would people want to keep playing? What, you just think they're gonna push over and give you money all the time when the game's not fun? Like, come on, dude. Whatever. But here, we'll just continue on, wrap up the article. So the company will move fairly quickly on that front, with Preddy not noting there are mobile free-to-play games expected to launch this later this year, and in hopes it will start building on that goal. The second way Warner Brothers hopes to address the volatility of its gaming business is through live service. So Preddy continues on saying that, so rather than just launching a one-and-done console game, how do we develop a game around, for example, Hogwarts Legacy or Harry Potter that is a live service where people can come in and live and work and build and play in the world on an ongoing basis? Peretti noted that the company's new gaming strategy is still at an early stage of development and its efforts to overhaul the streaming max business, but he expects the strategic focus to result in more growth from the gaming side of the business sometime in 2025 to 2027 timeframe. Man, I don't know, man. I think that some games, it's okay to be a one and done. Like Hogwarts Legacy, that's okay to be a one and done. But if you do a live action, like live service game, you got to build an entire multiplayer world. And then it goes back to what I was saying, like, what are people cheating? How does that affect the game? Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah. Look, I mean, there's pros and cons with each type of game, right? Obviously.
Of course.
I think to single player's advantage, the biggest con is that, you know, whenever the game releases, like, that's when you're going to see peak revenue, right? It's the first week, and then kind of after that, it's just what it is. I think to play devil's advocate for the single player, like, advocate for more multiplayer live service style games, is that for, like, games are clearly getting longer and longer to make and harder to make, and it's one of those things where studios have to invest a lot and hope that it's good enough so that when it sells that they make their money back and some. So I mean, it's certainly probably a larger gamble for some studios to just focus on a single player game for 3-4 years and hope that it's good and all that, and hope that they're making something nice. So like that's one downside, but like I don't know, also like, but like I said, I mean, I certainly prefer those experiences, and it's kind of, I think it's unfortunate the fact that it's kind of like come to that where it's just like it's so hard to make these games. It's becoming more and more of a gamble to like make like a single player style game. It's kind of one and done. But I mean, I'll say too, like a, you know, live service multiplayer games again. I mean, as long as they take time to make them good, I think we're at a point now in the development cycle too where it's like it's more intriguing and more incentivizing for studios to make these like longer, like just live service style games, because you make the base game, you have everything there, and then you can just like do iterative updates over the next few years to kind of maintain and keep the game relevant. I think from a revenue standpoint, it obviously makes more sense to go that route because it's a little more predictable in terms of, especially if you have a good game, it's more predictable to know how much money you can bring in with like a a giant like DLC or something like that. But you know, with the one in the game, it's just kind of like a one giant lump sum. Move on. But it's an interesting dynamic too, and it's like as I hear more of these articles and we read more of these, it kind of makes me think about that balance of like, yeah, like what are studios going to want to do in the future? And it just seems like live service is going to be at least if a developer's focusing on money, live service is going to be the path to take. But they need to make it good at the end of the day, no matter what you do. So,
yeah, I think that's a fair statement. I'm also, that actually reminded me of, yeah, so, okay, this is done by Warner Brothers. I would hope so. Have you heard of DC Universe Online? It came out in 2011.
I think I have heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, still active to this day. Still has a pretty big player base, and it keeps having new releases. So it started on like the PlayStation 3 and Windows, and then branched out to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and now it's on Switch. So it's just continually adding more and more players. And that's a live service game, essentially. MMO, RPG, yeah. Free to play. That's successful. So I can imagine them creating a new version of that. And if they don't have that in the pipeline, they absolutely need to have that in the pipeline. I'm not exactly sure if people would be interested in doing a Hogwarts Legacy version of a MMORPG. It just really depends on what Warner Brothers can cook up in terms of live action, live service.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's at the end of the day, that's all that matters. It's like, it really is. What are they going to make?
Just create a good game with a good IP, and you have like Warner Brothers, so much stuff, man.
Yeah, like
so much stuff.
You have resources, you have money. Like, come on, yeah, do the right thing, Warner Brothers. You cooked with Harry Potter. That's all I'm saying. If you wanted to do a live service Harry Potter, just make sure that that game includes Quidditch, and then like everyone will be happy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, bro, these guys have Lego. The thing that they really have that they absolutely need to use is the Middle Earth series, like anything Lord of the Rings.
It's kind
of
weird too, because like those Middle Earth games, I feel like there was a nice spurt where like they came out with Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War, and like those were like decent games. And then kind of
single player though.
Yeah, they are single player.
That's the thing. Like, yeah,
yeah, that's the thing. I feel like if they're going to get into that again, they should try some with live service. I think it'd be interesting, but again, you gotta make it good, man. All I'm gonna say.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how Warner Brothers pivots and if they can actually be successful in the free-to-play market.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm intrigued too, but it's one of those things, like, we'll see. Warner Brothers, I think, like, they did the Batman games, right? I think about.
Yes, they did. Yeah, they did the Batman Arkham series.
Single player. Yeah. I don't know. The single player has been cooking, but, yeah.
Yeah. They did Fear. They did Injustice. They did Mortal Kombat. It's like, they got games, man.
I didn't know they did Fear. It's interesting.
Yeah. They got games. So, and that doesn't even include all the IPs that they have underneath the Warner Bros. Like legacy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll just have to keep an eye out, because that's going to be we're basically going to start hearing a lot of things in the future about this. That's their vision for 2025 and going forward. So,
don't let us down, Warner Brothers. All right. I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do good.
You know who let us down, though? Try to do the segue.
That's a good one.
It's mostly an update from last week's article, though.
Yeah. Yeah, last week reported that Nintendo was suing Yuzu, Yuzu for the emulator for various reasons. Let's get into this article. Let's talk a little bit more. Let's get the details, because we talked about the lawsuit last week, but we didn't know what the settlement or anything was going to be, if they were going to settle. So, ladies and gentlemen, coming from Sean Hollister over at The Verge, Nintendo Switch emulator Yuzu will utterly fold, pay $2.4 million to settle its lawsuit with Nintendo. Crazy. The emulator was sued for, quote, facilitating piracy at a colossal scale. So, just over a week ago, like we reported on this podcast, Nintendo was suing the developers of the leading Nintendo Switch emulator Yuzu. Again, for facilitating piracy at a colossal scale. It appears that Yuzu will now give up without a fight and give Nintendo everything it wanted, and it affects the 3DS emulator Citra as well. According to a joint filing, Tropic Haze has not only agreed to pay $2.4 million to Nintendo, but also says Yuzu is, quote, primarily designed to circumvent and play Nintendo Switch games. The company agrees to be permanently enjoined from working on Yuzu, hosting Yuzu, distributing Yuzu's code or features, hosting websites and social media that promote Yuzu, or doing anything else that circumvents Nintendo's copyright protection. So they said, like, you better blow it up and pay us $2.4 million, or you're done.
Yeah.
For life.
If, dude, imagine what it was if they were going to drag him through the courts. They're just like, okay, we'll just admit fault. Like, just please don't execute me. Just take my arm. It's okay. That's what this is.
Oh, man. $2.4 million. You think they have $2.4 million, Mike? I have no idea how much they make, revenue at all. And Patreon, maybe?
But... Oh, file for bankruptcy immediately and then disappear into the ether.
Something, dude. Oh.
It's sent to the Shadow Realm.
Oh. And it will surrender the yuzuemu.org domain name to Nintendo. Agree to delete not only its copies of Yuzu, but also all circumvention tools used for developing or using Yuzu, such as Tegra RCM GUI, Hikari, Atmosphere, Lockpick RCM, ND dump tool. Are you following, Mike? NX dump fuse or Tegra Explorer? I use those programs every day. That's crazy.
Dude, those programs just sound like lockpick. You're going to name it lockpick. Yeah, no wonder they're just like, in quotes, primarily designed to circumvent and place Nintendo Switch games.
They're lockpicking. Yeah,
I use lockpick RCM, dude. Are you kidding me? Oh, dude, you can't make it up.
They're going to hand over all their physical circumvention devices and modify Nintendo hardware to Nintendo as well. That's crazy.
Nintendo wins always.
I will say, shout out Pyro Software, because he did a TikTok once where he showed like this like hacking device he had that was like this little like orange. I forget. It's like a flipper, I think is what it's called or something like that.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Dude, that thing is nuts. Yeah. He's like showing, like, I saw like YouTube videos. I was doing a bunch of research afterwards after he showed it. And it was like,
they can hack into anything.
Dude, it was like unlocking like old car doors and stuff like that from like way like before they actually, like before cars actually realized how dangerous it was. And so they implemented prevention. But it's like before then, it's like you could like unlock cars. It was nuts.
Oh,
like it's dangerous. Anyway, maybe that was one of the circumvention devices. Like, that's all I'm saying. You know? Maybe there's some flippers in there in that office. Anyway, it also agrees to not delete any other evidence that infringes Nintendo's IP rights. Yuzu and Citra developer Bunny? I don't know what it is. Anyways, developer of Yuzu.
Bunny?
I don't know. Developer Yuzu and Citra confirmed in the Yuzu Discord that both Nintendo Switch and Nintendo 3DS emulators are affected. We write today to inform you that Yuzu and Yuzu support of Citra are being discontinued effective immediately. It begins. So, this is a giant Discord post, but the Verge was kind of just kind of laid out here.
Ooh.
Hello, users and Citra fans. Are you a user, Mike?
I guess so.
User?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
It's like a... Anyway.
Nintendo, please don't sue me.
We write today to inform you that user and user support for Citra has been discontinued effective immediately. Yuzu and its team have always been against piracy. We started the projects in good faith out of passion for Nintendo and its consoles and games, and were not intended to cause harm. But we see now that because our projects can circumvent Nintendo's technological protection measures and allow users to play games outside of authorized hardware, they have led to extensive piracy. In particular, we have been deeply
drafted by a lawyer. By the way,
in particular, we have been deeply disappointed when users have used our software to leak game content prior to its release and ruin the experience for legitimate purchasers and fans. We have come to the decision that we cannot continue to allow this to occur. Piracy is never our intention, and we believe the piracy of video games and on video game consoles should end. Effective today, we will be pulling our code repositories offline, discontinuing our Patreon accounts and Discord servers, and soon shutting down our websites. We hope our actions will be a small step towards ending piracy of all creators' work. Thank you for your years of support and for understanding our decision. Kind of nuts, dude.
They got cooked. I know a couple of people that have... in the Xbox 360 space, they've been bringing on the Xbox Live servers again, and they thought that Xbox was getting ready to do the same thing Nintendo did, and they just like vanished like the Avatar in The Last Airbender. The world needed them the most. Gone.
Listen. So. I wonder. Well, we'll just keep reading the article, and then if it doesn't, because I want to talk about the Tears of the Kingdom stuff, because I think that's probably the most relevant point. But
see if the article mentions it. Yeah.
You could read through the entirety of the proposed final judgment and permanent injunction at the bottom of the story. Judge John J. McConnell signed them with zero changes PDF on Wednesday, March 6th, but on Monday, the source code for Yuzu and Citra had both already been pulled from GitHub, and their websites were replaced with a copy of Benign's message. It's not yet clear if this is the literal end to Yuzu or Citra, since copies of both emulators and the source code are in the wild. Some online supporters specifically mentioned backing up the Yuzu code after Nintendo sued 2 weeks ago. It's still out there. I mean, you can't technically get rid of it, I guess. But
no, the internet's forever.
I'm also not clear, Sean, that is, on whether this result could impact other emulators beyond Yuzu or Citra. If Yuzu had fought this lawsuit in court, one of the biggest questions would have been whether Yuzu is actually circumventing Nintendo's protections, since the emulator itself does not contain Nintendo's keys. Yuzu is a bring-your-own BIOS emulator. But now, Nintendo and Tropicase are asking a judge to specifically find that Yuzu circumvents its copyright protections by using those keys, even if it doesn't come with them. They are asking a federal judge to say yes to this specifically. Developing or distributing software, including Yuzu, that in its ordinary course functions only with cryptographic keys or integrated without authorization, violates the Digital Millennium Copyright Act's the prohibition of trafficking in devices that circumvent effective technological measures, because the software is primarily designed for the purpose of circumventing technological measures. Digital Millennium Copyright Act. I feel like I hear that all the time on like YouTube, creators trying to... Yeah.
DMCA.
But although Nintendo is making an example out of Yuzu, one that might create a chilling effect, it shouldn't create a legal precedent. Good news is that settlements are not legal determinations, even with court sign-off, so they are not legally precedential. It's crazy. Richard Hoag, a business attorney who hosts the virtual legality podcast, tells The Verge. Hoag suspects Yuzu settled because Nintendo at least gave them a cap on their liability. It's a lot of money, but it's a known amount, and I suspect the advice they were getting was that their exposure was high and they had a good chance to lose after paying lawyers for a long time.
Yeah, just take the L. Yeah. Chop off your arm so you can save your life.
Pretty much.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like Saw or something.
Yeah. So the article didn't mention this, but I like reading into the story more and kind of seeing other people's opinion online and stuff like that. It's like I had heard kind of what another aspect of this that's probably not mentioned and what could have affected like Yuzu's decision to just like kill it all was that, you know, whenever Tears of the Kingdom was coming out and people were like, they had their emulators and they were like emulating the game, they were able to download early copies of the game before release. And so like there was already early copies in the wild and people had circumvented all of that on these emulators just to play Tears of the Kingdom. Like I think it was like a week or two before the game even came out.
It was, yeah.
So it's like, you know, I mean, it's definitely not like it's not great to pirate things already. And then on top of that, getting early release copies before and like out there in the wild, it's like,
that's how you get attention from all wrong people.
Yeah. So
you don't need that.
That certainly doesn't help Yuzu's case. And I think that's that was probably part of the reason why they were just like, yeah, this has probably gotten out of hand and just need to kill it.
Yeah. It's like, let's not mess with this.
Yeah.
So they got cooked and it's kind of wild how quickly it happened, really.
Yeah.
Don't you think? It was less than a week. Yeah. It's like Nintendo announced, they're just like, we're suing you. And Yuzu was like, you got me.
They were like, yeah, you know what? Fine. All right. I'm not, we don't want to fight this fight.
Yeah, we'll take this L.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think I'm pretty sure there's like more out, like other emulators out in the wild anyway, too. It's like,
you know, oh, they're tons, but they don't like, make a profit. That's true. The difference. Like they're all free, they're all open source. So it's like Nintendo will see it and they'll just be like, okay. Like yeah, whatever. We'll have to go after the individuals that are stealing their what's it called? The ICOs, the actual games itself. ICO, ISOs, ISOs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's crazy stuff, but yeah, so there you go. Yuzu's no more, Citra. Cut the cord. However, source code is still out there. It's not coming from me. That's just, you know, people out there downloading it. So
yeah, that's in the code. I can tell you where to probably find it. Yeah, anybody could Google it real quick.
Yeah, for real. And also, you know, if you want to read the legal precedent, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to the article and just four pages of the Final Judgment right here. That's how they got cooked.
Yes, sir. So,
there you go. And the original, you know, Tropicage Judgment. There you go. It's crazy stuff. Bring your own BIOS, baby. BYOB, and we ain't talking System of a Down, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, man.
it's
absolute great band, though. So how about we jump into the, I guess, the last, the main headliner of the article. Yeah. Now, yeah. You are the one that actually picked this out, so I'm not going to take on the reins on this one.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
I think you handle it.
This is the thing, and you know what's kind of funny is, like, I don't know, I'm pretty sure either of us didn't get a chance to see this, so it'll just be a first reaction for both of us. And I don't know, it's you know, the partner preview that Xbox held, and you know, kind of just disclosing. It's a lot of just kind of like, you know, current IP, and so, you know, Xbox is just sort of previewing what some of kind of like the, you know, the I don't want to say less significant studios, but you know, at least like the lower tier probably studios. I don't know, there's no good way to say that. Anyways, we're just going to kind of go through sort of this partner preview and just kind of see, like, I just wanted to see firsthand kind of what's shown and go through some of it. I mean, it looks like we're already looking at some Assassin's Creed style game to start off the showcase. So it's Bandai Namco. You know, what are we thinking here, Mike? Thinking some like Assassin's Creed. Just like before we even see the title, how would you best describe what you're seeing?
Yeah, Assassin's Creed is probably what I lean into. It also kind of reminds me of, it's called the Unknown Awakening.
Unknown Awakening?
Let's see. Okay. I'm really curious. So I also, in conjunction of this, I found an article from Polygon that actually gives a breakdown. So, okay. If I can read it real quick for you. Apparently, it's a third-person action-adventure game in which you play as Haruna, Quesitor, I think? Q-U-A-E-S-T-O-R? Quesitor? Born with the ability to venture into the fold. Conquistador, maybe, I don't know. But adventure in the fold, which is a mysterious dimension that overlaps our own. And Haruna's power draws the attention of the Ascendants, a secret society that wants to use the fold to alter the course of human history. Interesting. Sounds like you could have some time traveling events.
Looks pretty sick.
Is this her in the fold? It kind of reminded me of this other game that just recently came out. Eden? Ghost of New Eden, I think?
Sounds right. It's New Eden.
Yeah. Where it's like the afterlife. I mean, the fold could be anything. Purgatory, like...
I don't know, you can really take it anywhere, you know.
Hades, I guess. Undeciding land, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, Mike, summer 2024. You can wishlist it now for Xbox, maybe. Stuff.
Yeah, and all of these seem to be probably coming out on Game Pass most of the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm expecting. Because it's on partner. I feel like anything Xbox partner, it's like, better be coming out on Game Pass. So, like, we're talking about Riff Raff Games of this. First impression, when I look at this, I'm like, okay. I kind of thought Bioshock at first, but, like, that's just the aesthetic. It's not necessarily the gameplay.
And, we've actually seen this once before. It's not a full official announced trailer, is it? We've heard rumors.
I'm sure we have, yeah.
Yeah, this is a sleight of hand. It is a thief-based game.
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of Dishonored is the thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so apparently it's a... here, we can show the gameplay for the people that are viewing, and then I can read the description. Sleight of Hand is a third-person stealth action deck builder about taking down your former witch, Coven, with a cursed set of cards. The game is coming on Windows PC, Xbox Series X in 2025, and will launch on Game Pass. So, it might not be a thief game. So I could be mistaken. A card game. Cursed set of cards.
Pretty sick trailer for a card game.
Yeah. So you're a deck builder and you're pissed off at your witch coven and you got to get revenge. nothing like a female's like revenge arc. You know you love it.
Oh, sure. I'm Mike from the creators of This War of Mine and Frostpunk. What do we got next? Looks like space.
Is this the Frostpunk 2?
think it might be.
Topic?
I think so. Or is it probably 11-bit studios? It looks very, I don't know, I see the beach. It just reminds me, I'm just thinking like Death Stranding now. I see this type of scene. With the Altars? Oh, this is?
Okay, so the Altars. 11-bit Studios' emotional sci-fi game, The Altars, is a blend of adventure, survival, and base-building elements, its creators say. The new gameplay shows off the moon-like approach to the story. As Jan Dolsky, players create clones of himself in an attempt to escape from a deadly planet. The Altars is coming on PS5, Windows, Xbox Series X this year.
Okay. It was nice. It had a little like a space shuttle home base. It looked like
seeing
right now. It's getting a little.
It kind of looks like a side scroller or a platformer with the way the layout is in this base.
Oh yeah,
you see that?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
It's very like platformy.
So it looks like, and then you step outside onto the planet. This looks pretty crazy. I just immediately think of Death Stranding in terms of the big suit.
I thought the same thing right away.
I can't get Death Stranding out of my head. I can't get the Death Stranding out of my head.
Instead of the baby, it's an adult human. Wrapped up.
Oh, man. I see where we get inspiration from, you know? But, I don't know. It still looks pretty interesting. It's different. Follow your story, Mike. Follow your story, you know? It looks like there's some sort of... Oh, yeah. I don't know what this is. We're trying. It looks like this is like mini games in one. Like, there's just so many different like styles it's showing.
It's quite interesting. There's been a lot of Polish games that have been coming out recently. Polish, Swedish, and no, I think those are like the two main countries that have really been like shipping out some bangers recently. It's good to see like non-American like big studios coming into the play.
All really by cool. myself. Are they clones of him? That'd be kind of crazy.
Yeah, but that's what it says.
Yeah. Okay. That whole circle thing moved too. It's pretty sick. Old base. All right. Okay. I see this. Got some Horizon Zero Dawn vibes. It's got the color. It's got the color of No Man's Sky. All right, stay with me here. It's got the creatures of No Man. Like, look at these creatures, dude. They're so crazy.
This might be Kinzera Zao. I think.
Skip ahead, shall we? Creatures of Ava.
Ooh, that is not it. Oh, here it is. So, Creatures of Ava, a new creative, new creative collecting adventure. Creatures of Ava lets you tame wild beasts on a world-saving adventure, and it's coming on Windows, PC, Xbox Series X, and it will be on the Game Pass. I'm pretty sure all of these are going to be on Game Pass. I'll be shocked if one of these isn't.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, all right.
There's another game with very similar art style. Okay, like this the art style of this actually reminds me a lot of Sea of Thieves. Like, just a little bit.
It's pretty
crazy. Some things here and there I'm just like, ah, that could be a Sea of Thieves kind of dive into it, you know? Or maybe No Man's Sky. I really like this art style in general.
I do too. I mean, pretty to look at.
I think games developers need to understand you don't have to be hyper realistic. I think we've mentioned multiple times, if you have the right mechanics in a game, it will like transcend what it looks like. Like the mechanics in Minecraft and Roblox is amazing.
Yeah.
And the graphics are kind of meh. Same thing with Fortnite.
Yeah, true. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, dude, I love the art style. I love the color. I love the creatures. Oh, I think this is a good one.
The creature's pretty cool. Yeah. You can pet a space dog. It's pretty sick. Look at that.
I'd be petting a space dog. See, I'd be controlling this raven. I don't even know what that is. It's not a raven. I don't know what that is.
Like some type of weird bird. You got Maze Runner there. running. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, looks pretty cool. Dude, in the middle of this, though, it was so crazy. Like outside of my window, I just heard this loud clap of thunder, and like it's been raining like some today, but there's been no storm, so it completely scared me. So I'm at the point where I just look like wide eyed at some point, but that's because like that thunder just completely scared me. Regardless,
that's crazy.
We move on.
It actually finally stopped raining out here, which is nice.
Yeah, it's been like on and off. It's all
it's all gotten to you now.
Yeah, seems like it. Oh my goodness. Mike, I see a creature, a green creature with four legs. I see a lot of green just beings along the street. I see graphics that look like they are from the PlayStation 1. Oh, I see Chucky.
Goodness. Okay. This is
is this a Roblox game?
Yes, it is. So Chucky comes to Roblox.
Let's go.
Oh my goodness, let's go. What else is there to say? Survive your nightmare. It's described as a chilling interactive experience by developer Rocket Ride Games and University Products and Experiences. It's out right now.
Oh, wow.
Go play Chucky. And Chucky's out here just trying to slice and dice, man.
Dude, this looks so funny. Just see, there's like a paintball gun this guy has. Shooting Chucky with a paintball gun.
It's going to be so much fun. Look at it. You got people running around with a bat.
You get your boys on this? Dude, that's hours of entertainment right there.
Oh, dude. I bet you right now YouTube is popping off with people playing this. Guaranteed.
Not in engine footage. Keep that in mind, Mike. Some of this stuff is not in engine, but you know.
Hey, it's available today. Go check it out.
Available today. Look at that, dude. Partner preview. We've already gotten through three kind of major titles. And then Roblox. That's so funny. They just threw Roblox in
here. Absolutely wild.
Oh, all right. We move on to a dark and somber game, Mike. It looks like you're a lone wanderer on a planet with these fish, mutant, humanoid-like beasts. Very cinematic-style trailer. It's a man versus these creatures and a pistol. He ran out of ammo. See, this is like a very... Okay, this... I gotta find out the name of this. What are we working with here? Ooh, The Sinking City 2, Mike. Sinking City 2. I was just skimming through it, and it's like... There's a lot going on in this trailer, so you have to
read the description. Goodness me, man. So here's the description. So Frog Wares revealed a sequel to The Sinking City on Wednesday in a new trailer that shows the flooded Lovecraftian city of Arkham and teases the mystery of its impending doom. The Sinking City 2 is a full-on survivor horror game. And while it's the long-awaited follow-up to the original 2019 investigative thriller, it will feature a new standalone story, and The Sinking City 2 is coming to PlayStation 5, Windows PC, Xbox Series X and S, not even S, actually, Xbox Series X, 2025.
Dang.
Investigative thriller.
Looks very survival horror. It looks very Alan Wake. It looks very...
I was about to say Alan Wake. I was like, that's the biggest like hit that survival horror we've had in a very long time.
Investigative horror, yeah. Recently. Yeah, Alan Wake. Resident Evil, the older Resident Evil, like Resident Evil 2. Mm-hmm. Into the trailers is some giant beast over this town. This is a wild ride here, Mike. So this looks like... But this honestly looks like my kind of game, though. Not gonna lie.
This is 100% up your alley, dude. All about investigative thrillers.
Yeah, it's 2025, but I mean, hey, I'm all in just from seeing this. It looks
one trailer is all it takes, baby.
Give me it's Square Enix, or is this the next game? It's the next game. Sorry,
oh,
it's
not Square Enix. Pretty sure this is gonna be Final Fantasy 14.
That's what it's looking like. It looks in very Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy. Yeah, 14 online.
Yeah, there's not really much to say. It's Final Fantasy. It's coming out.
It's online.
Yeah.
Like Final Fantasy online. There you go. March 21st, full release. There you go.
You can play the beta right now, so go check it out.
Yep. Game World. I'm looking at what looks to be a very Metro 2033.
Like Stalker.
Old Stalker Metro vibes. I'm getting this. And I think I actually cheated earlier because I saw this was Stalker related, but I forgot what Stalker game this was. Stalker Clear Sky, it says, yeah.
So basically what's going on is the original Stalker trilogy gets surprise drops on Xbox. Stalker Legends of the Zone trilogy brings three classic Stalker games, Shadow of Chernobyl, Clear Sky, and Call of Pripyat. And that is coming to Xbox One. Xbox Series X via backwards compatibility, and the trilogy is available right now. So this is going to be good for anybody that's interested in the soccer series. And if they're probably like gearing up for the next soccer game. So.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I've seen the trailers for like the soccer game and stuff like that, the new soccer game, whatnot. Like, should be pretty good. I know they've like delayed it, I think, but yeah. Stalker, like, I know people are excited, especially like for Stalker fans. So very cool stuff there. Get you a regional Stalker trilogy. You can play this on Xbox. So I mean, hey, might as well check it out. We got a racing game, Mike. Let's go. You could drive a shark, Mike. Just think about that for a second. You have a shark car body with monster truck wheels.
Well, say no more, fam. I'm in. It's wild out here. I'm from North Carolina, baby.
Monster Jam, Mike. Come on. Monster Jam showdown. Look at this.
Really not much to say about Monster Jam. Yeah. It's just, I think there was a Monster Jam game back in the day on like N64 or like PlayStation 2 or something that I played.
I think so, yeah.
It was exactly like this. It was just giant monster trucks doing monster truck things. The legendary grave digger truck, pretty wild.
I mean, dude, you get to be a Megalodon. I mean, come on. What else?
Yeah, I'm on board always.
What more could you ask for out of a game? All right, dude. We don't have too much more left. You like Persona? Because Persona, baby. Persona 3. Yeah, it's Persona. There's people out there, Mike, that they really enjoy their 105-hour minimum games, you know, where you just see it takes that long to be.
I can't even read a book that's 100 pages. You ask me to play 100 freaking hours. Come on, I'm just being real.
Oh my gosh.
But let's get into this. So Persona 3 Reload expansion pass. So Sega and Atlas will release new costumes, music, extended story content with episodes Aegis, I think is what it said, The Answer, as part of Persona 3's Reload's expansion pass. And Persona fans got their first look at the new content right there. So
yeah, there you go. It's coming in waves too. You have wave 1, 2, and 3 coming out in March, yep. May, and September respectively. Respectfully, yeah, more Persona, baby. Let's go. Claps to everyone who enjoys Persona, because you got that good content coming along. But now we go to Mordor, Mike. Just kidding, I don't know what this is. It kind of looks like Skyrim, though. just saying. Okay, we got a nice little slasher. Is this a Bourne? Is this a Bourne I'm looking at? What is this?
Hold on. I was literally, so I got like little previews here that I'm trying to skip ahead and find. I think it is First Berserker.
It is
Kazan. So Xbox fans got a new look at the First Berserker, Nixon's Souls-like action RPG from the Dungeon Fighter Online team, ahead of the game's launch on the Xbox Series X. So this is a game that we saw in multiple trailers, multiple previews, and this is probably what the first gameplay trailer that we've ever seen, and it looks wild.
It looks actually pretty sick.
Similar like Elden Ring, maybe a little bit, but like the art style is kind of more cartoonish. Yeah. Dude, it looks badass.
Yeah, it's definitely a Souls like. people like Souls like games. It's gonna be up your alley. Mm-hmm. I mean, animations are insane. The fighting looks fun.
Yes, sir.
Looks like a good challenge. What could you want out of a Souls game? You know. Yeah, art style looks sick though. Too. Very very cartoony. Cartoony, yes, I say that loosely. It's, you know, kind of a blend between the typical Souls art style, and then kind of with a cartoon edge. So, yeah, by Nexon. I mean, hey, do you want? Oh, this dude, this is the game we saw at the Game Awards.
Yes,
dude, yes, this game looks sick too.
This is Tales of Kenzira Zal, right? I believe so. Let me double check. It is, yes. Okay, so this is the Metroidvania style adventure game created by Abu Bakar Salim Studio, Surgent Studios, and EA Originals got a new look at Wednesday's Xbox partner previews. It's going to be on Windows, Xbox Series X, April 23rd. So that's going to be pretty cool pretty soon. It's looking clean, man. It's looking very puzzly, like a true platformer style game. So I remember telling you this, and I still think it. It reminds me a little bit about Ori and the Blind Forest.
It's got the color, right? I mean,
it does. It's got the color. It's got color. Yep.
It's good.
It's looking good.
Yeah, I just remember the kind of the main, I guess, community manager, like studio head, whenever he talked at Game Awards. I thought it was really cool. Is like he made the game as like a dedication to his dad, because I think his dad passed away. So yes. Kind of a cool story behind it too. I don't know. But yeah, it looks like a solid platformer. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see kind of more of this.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those games I could probably sit down and just grind through. Really enjoy.
It's a Mad Mike game right here. That's all I'm saying, baby.
100%, dude. Like, meets on the couch, posted back. The dog, who's actually, if you can see him in the background.
He well, chilling, actually, he blended.
He moved. Wow. He's unconscious on the ground like he just got shot. he had a long day at the dog park. But yeah. But this game right here is Frostpunk 2.
Frostpunk 2, baby.
Hopefully this is going to be a success. It's one of the main games that I picked in my video game drafts, by the way. So
okay.
This is the Game Pass subscribers will get the cool off with the PC Game Pass release of Frostpunk 2, the sequel to Frostpunk. And yeah, July 24th. So this summer, you get to play a game based in the winter.
It's kind of crazy that Frostpunk 2 is already a thing. I remember like Frostpunk, like a lot of people played Frostpunk. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's exciting to see. It's like 2 days before my birthday comes out. Look at that. Crazy.
Look at you. You're July 27th?
Yes, sir. Look at me.
Shoot.
Look at me.
I think my sister's July 27th. Possibly. I don't
know. Oh, we got these July birthdays out here, baby. Let's go.
I'm tired of you guys.
Hey, man. We got it so good, too, because it's like middle of the year. It always worked out because like Christmas, you didn't get like single gifted for your birthday and Christmas.
True.
Like, that was probably the best part about having a summer birthday. Anyways. Nowadays, you know, I get some gifts still, but it's not, you know. I'm more of a giver now. Like, you know, I enjoy when I give. But, needless to say, we saw this in Capcom's little showcase, I'm pretty sure. This game looks very ninja. I was going to say Ninja Gaiden. It looks very ninja-like, your samurai kind of thing.
Trying to figure out which one this is in my list. Is it... Capcom's Kenetsugami?
I think it is. Yeah, Kenetsugami.
Yes, Kenetsugami. So Kenetsugami, Path of the Goddess, the action strategy game set in the world inspired by Japanese mythology, is coming to Game Pass with Capcom's new title launches for Xbox Series X and Windows PC later this year. So no official date on this one, is there?
I don't think so. I think it was saying, 2024. So just this year. But yeah, Capcom release. RE Engine, by the way. I thought that was interesting. It's like, doesn't seem like RE Engine game, but yeah, it's RE Engine. It's very cool stuff there. Yeah, that was it, Mike. I mean, that was kind of all they showed. A decent amount of kind of games there. I don't know that, I think that, I will say I liked the, I'm already forgetting the name, but it's the Death Stranding game. That's what I'm just gonna call it. With all the clones of that one guy.
The Altars.
Yeah, the Altars.
The Altars is what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, that game looked good. That's probably worth checking out. For me, that's a giant horror investigative game with a giant city with a bunch of like just reminding you of Silent Hill. I mean, come on, what do you want? That's up my alley.
That's 100%. Yeah, 100%. I was supposed to say that. Yeah. It looks really up your alley.
And watching that too has got me excited for Silent Hill 2, kind of the remake on PlayStation. And who knows, you know, if that comes out next year, that and GTA would be the reason I get a console. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Those are kind of my like two standouts, I think. And obviously that platformer, Things Out or whatever that was.
Tales of Kinzera. It's called. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Like, I wasn't expecting to see Sinking City 2, Stalker, or what was the other big one on here? If I can scroll over and see this. I guess those were really the main two. Maybe Final Fantasy, that they're coming to Xbox. I was kind of surprised to see that coming. One of the ones that actually sticks out to me, and I don't even play Roblox, is the fact that they're putting Chucky in there. Dude. I just think that's going to be hilarious.
That was the best one.
Yeah, I think that's going to be pretty funny. I'm really interested to see what a sleight of hand might be. Because if it is the stealth action deck builder, and it has witchy things involved where like you're trying to get revenge on your coven, it's going to be wild. A lot of potential. There are a lot of ways you can go with that. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
As usual, dude, gaming's looking bright. Like new games coming out. I feel like, yeah, sure, there's occasional misses and total like trash out there, but there are some ones where you just get that new good stuff. Could be a total hit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's the thing. Yeah, I'm still bullish, you know. I like seeing this. It's always cool to see these like previews and stuff like that. And they're so scattered now, which is nice. It's not like all congealed into one month. Yeah. It's kind of like it's nice to have like things to kind of hold us over, you know, until June and
precisely
December. So yeah, dude, I'm always hyped for these, and I think this is kind of a good showcase of some titles I wasn't familiar with before. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to these little releases for sure. And Game Pass too. Some of them are on Game Pass. So
oh yeah, of course.
It's always nice to get additions. So
every single one of these is coming to Game Pass. I'm also excited to see what could happen with the Nintendo Directs coming up. That would be pretty interesting to check out. And yeah, dude, I guess it's just looking good overall. Month of March is kind of lame when it comes to like new releases and stuff. There's not a whole lot, but good to see that there is some type of partner premiere. Maybe get some good indie games coming out. More absolute bangers like Helldivers 2 dropping and all of a sudden absolutely hits. You know?
Yeah.
Be really cool.
Yeah, dude. I'm excited to see what would be next. Seems like Helldivers 2 is still going pretty strong, so be cool to see kind of what's next there, but yeah. Yeah, still a lot to look forward to. This is kind of a month where you have to, because there's not a whole lot of releases like you were saying, so.
Yes, sir. So what do you think? Do we have anything else to wrap up? I think we got all the articles. We did a quick little review, a preview of the preview for the Xbox showcase.
Yeah.
I don't think we have anything.
God, dude, I think it was pretty little nice week of articles. Good to get an update in there about a previous article.
Yeah, for sure. More context added.
Yeah, I work through this stuff. It's always good to get those continuations. So, you know,
good deal.
Decent news overall. Excited for the future.
Same. Yeah, I guess without further ado, if you guys have any interest in checking out the articles for yourself that we've covered, links are in the description below. We have some social media links there as well. Like, subscribe, comment, let us know how you feel about the videos. And yeah, that's pretty much it. You good? I'm good.
I'm good. I just got to keep gaming.
yeah, keep gaming. Anyways, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. We'll see you next week. I'm Michael Antti. That's Kyle Heath, and it's the MG Podcast. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
Thanks, everyone.
Peace out. See you.